Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 9th of April. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon. How is my mic?
Yeah, your mic's fine.
Good.
He was a bit ill over the weekend, but he's better now.
It's a little bit muffled to me, you know.
No, you're fine.
Oh, good. I'll take your word.
Talking about not being well.
Bird.
Yeah, we're missing Bird. Bird was supposed to be here today, and she's got chest infection.
So you're popping round with the Vic
later? I was going to pop round with the Vic later, but no, she said she'll be fine.
Without you.
Yeah.
Without the Vic.
So we're thinking of you, Bird, and get well soon, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
Yeah. I recommend honey, lemon, all those kind of things.
Well, rubbing it on. Don't it get all sticky?
Ginger.
Don't it get in your vest?
No, not rubbed on.
Oh, okay.
Hot drinks.
Oh, I see. You don't rub it on.
No.
Because that'll make a right mess of your vest if you covered your chest in honey and echinacea.
This is annoying me because I'm very muffled.
No, you're fine.
I had a fabulous day yesterday. You haven't asked me, but I'm going to tell you.
I haven't got round to it yet.
Well, do you want to ask me?
No.
I went to Chef's Ball.
She's going to tell me anyway.
I spent the whole day eating and drinking.
No way.
Very nice.
Was it a day of the week?
Yeah.
Blimey. No wonder that's why you were eating and drinking then, wasn't it?
I went to Petrus Maduleta, who's been on the course.
It's easy for you to say.
He's been on the
Petrus has been on the show.
Show.
Yeah, he has been, yeah.
He has.
He's South African.
He's master of the braai.
Yeah, he's South African.
The braai, for listeners who don't know, is a South African word for the barbecue.
Yeah.
But he's got a barbecue like no other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge. It's big as his desk.
Really?
Yeah.
So no.
And, Paul Andrews,
yes.
He showed us what to do with the chicken. So when I came home last night,
really?
And my husband...
Well, cut it up, read the entrails, you know.
No.
I think you're going to die a horrible death,
When my new husband, I was cooking breakfast this morning, full English,
A
few mushrooms, and bacon, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I said to him, what should we have for dinner tonight? And he said, I'll get some
chicken
breast.
You do while you're having a full English, don't you? You go, what should we have for dinner while we're eating this breakfast?
Yeah. The full day, I worry.
Yeah. Do you want another bottle of Prosecco? It is nearly 9 o'clock, yeah.
Exactly. So... dear listener, I suggested he got the old frozen chicken breasts out of the freezer. And then he said, what shall I do?
I'm not even going anywhere with that.
Well, if it was Petrus, he'd brine them for 24 hours, he'd season it.
So this thing you were at with Petrus, what was it?
It was the chef's forum. It's where I go with the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff.
Yeah, but it was a forum, a chef's
forum. It's a forum for chefs. And I just muscle
in. That's clever, isn't it? Chef's forum. And it's chefs at a forum. Blimey. Who'd have thought
it? Do you know why they do it on a Monday?
No. Because it's the only day off?
It's the day that chefs are very good.
Yeah.
There's some restaurants, obviously, that do that.
So what do they do at the forum? They exchange recipes or something?
No. They have masterclasses. So lovely Petrus Maduleta of the poet at Mapfield, which is in Mapfield.
It's in Mapfield, surprisingly.
It's near all those places I can't pronounce.
Brenchley. It's just to the right of Brenchley and just north of Tunbridge Wells. Yeah.
I went through Rotham. Went there.
She's an Essex bird, right? But she's lived in Kent 58 years or something, right?
Who made up those names? I went through, is it Westmoreland?
Westmoreland.
Yeah, I went through.
Wait till she gets to Trosley, Trotterscliffe,
And Meopham.
Yeah.
That was close. I took a picture. Yeah. I had to stop in the lay-by to take a picture just to send you. I haven't had time to tweet it because then you were saying, could I come on the show? I've hardly had a minute to... undressed or anything. I'm still wearing
clothes. No, she's still got her gym jams on.
I will say the food was superb. It was absolutely superb. There was one thing, Trudy. There was a nice little, very nice little hazelnut white chocolate cheesecake. Tiny little, little bite.
This was still breakfast you're talking about here?
No, this is at Petrus's place.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't have white chocolate truffle cheesecake
after
breakfast.
I thought you had a
glass. Do you know how long it would take me to whip one of those up? I mean, they were just like a work of art. Little something red on there, a little pomegranate or something. Gorgeous it was. I had eight of those.
You had eight of those.
Supposed to have one, aren't you? It's very hard when you go to those networking, because it's obviously about networking.
Well, obviously. It's got nothing to do with eating and drinking.
You've got your wine in one hand, haven't you, Sam?
Yeah.
And then you've got your handbag, which slips off the shoulder. Do you find that, Sam, with your hand?
Yeah, all the time.
So it slips off, so you've got your wine, and that's sloshing. And then you've got the food, and then you're trying to get your business card out of here, because women's clothes don't have pockets. It's awful. I need to talk to men about designers about women's clothes. Now, do you agree with this, Rebecca? Because you're very beautifully dressed.
Oh, thank you.
You've got no pockets on, have you?
I actually do. Have side little pockets, yeah, one. Little secret pockets. Yeah.
Okay, well, then I need to get some pockets.
You need a secret pocket. Yeah. That's what you need. I'll tell you what you need.
Well, I have put it down my bra on occasion.
No, I was going to say.
You've ridiculed me.
No. When I was at school, which was an awful long time ago, the girls in the school next door, because it was a boys' school, the girls in the school next door, when they did gym, they all used to wear gym knickers, and they always had a pocket in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, for their hanky.
How do you know that?
Well, you could see it.
Now, for the benefit of most listeners who are of a normal age, Paul and I are rather old.
Yeah, so it's true.
I think in this day and age, girls don't wear knickers for the gym. They wear little shorts or tracksuits.
Yeah. But do you remember, girls used to wear gym knickers.
We had black knickers. Gym knickers. Yeah. It was awful. And also, we used to have to, if we yawned, we used to have to trot round the playground because the teacher said we were tired, obviously.
Hmm.
He'd make us run round the playground in the snow, rain, hail. I mean, my maths teacher used to, I'm enumerate, so he used to pull me out to the front of the class and make me do multiple division. I was only three on the blackboard.
Yeah.
And then he would throw the blackboard rubber at you.
That was part of teacher training. Yeah. Part of teacher training and part of the degree for teacher training was throwing the blackboard rubber.
Yeah.
It was.
Now what would they do? I mean, you'd sue them, wouldn't you, now, if they did that?
Mine used to kick your chair legs away.
Did they?
Yeah. If you leant back on your chair, they kick your chair legs away. So there used to be a central heating pipe that ran along the bottom of the classroom wall, and they kick your legs away so that you slid down the wall and hit your head on the pipe.
That's not fair.
No.
I find Prosecco does that for me.
Yeah, exactly. But funnily enough, we're actually going to be talking about young people today. We have a young people show, apart from me and Jules, who are very old. Everybody else here is young and talking about young people. So
I've got one question, very important to ask you. Who might our sponsor be?
I was just coming to that.
Yeah, I like to ask. Do you? Preempt. Yeah.
But first of all, I was going to talk about our guests, and I was going to talk about our sponsors.
You know, these guests are looking totally baffled by our...
Yeah, they're going, what the hell's going on here? Exactly. Yeah, she's talking drivel, that woman.
I'm trying to get out the door.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll ignore her.
Yeah.
We've got three great guests that we're going to talk to in the next 2 hours. The lovely Rebecca, Sam and Trudy. And we'll introduce them formally as we go through the show. This week's show sponsor are the lovely folks at ZC Social Media, supporting their ZC Live event. And we've got some information on that coming up in the show, where we're going to be talking about ZC Live. So a huge thank you to them. We'd like to hear from you, though, all the businesses out there. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You could call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford. 01233 220035. You could email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker. We have already had 9,833,763,002 tweets. Yeah, I know. It's half term. That's why it is. They're busy. Yeah, it's half term.
Yeah, I've seen a few people walking in the rain with their children, which means they're enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. this morning, it's fun. This is fun.
Pouring rain.
Yeah.
It's fun. Cool. Down on the beach.
Cool. So, that's where we are. So, do you want to kick off? And you can. I'm going to be really pragmatic today, and you can choose whether you read an email or a tweet. I don't mind.
Well, then that means I can't thwart you, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Because I actually, Trudy, like to do exactly
the opposite of what I ask her to do, because she's like that.
It is the curmudgeonly show. Mm. So this is about waffles.
Well, that's right up your street, isn't it?
Yeah, making me a bit
in every way.
I'm gluten free, though, of course. So you can get gluten free waffles.
Can you?
Often made with coconut.
Well,
coconut flour.
They already. I'm already put off.
Cassava flour. Another one. You've never even had cassava flour. So
no, I haven't. But I'm trying to imagine what a flavour-free waffle actually tastes like. What would be the point? Yeah, it'd be like rubber, wouldn't it?
No, it would be like rubber.
Yeah.
Come round to mine. I'll give you a waffle. You're good at waffling.
Yeah.
Anyway, waffle. It's got. I don't really understand this, but I'm sure I will when I read
it. Well, I'll tell you.
I should practice this. Waffle, and it's got 7.0.
It's waffle 7.
Okay, waffle 7. Thank you.
Sponsored Shall I do it? I haven't even got the email, and I can tell you what it says.
I bet you typed this.
No, I didn't.
You printed it off.
The lovely Gemma Fairclough Haynes sent it to me.
It's sponsored by the lovely
Gemma Fairclough Haynes. No way.
Employment law.
Who knew that? Yeah.
ACCA, Gemma Fairclough Haynes. Yeah. It's almost here, she says. They say, eat waffles, and have a waffle with others. Do you see what she did?
It's a networking event with waffles.
I do like that. I might go. I'll take my own cassava flour with me.
Yeah.
So Thursday, April the 18th, which is when? That's next week, isn't it?
It's next Thursday. Oh. Not this Thursday, Thursday
okay, so
after.
It's looming, and it's perfect waffle time, Paul Andrews. It's 4 o'clock. So 4 p.m. I like that. Four-ish, more-ish. Dragon Co-working. It's number 7 New Road Avenue, Rochester. And the old postcode is M for Mother, E for Egbert, 4-6, B for Bertie, B for Bertie. And you can get your ticket and all details on Kent Biz Radio. What are you? Bizradio.co.uk.
They are indeed. You've
got to learn that now.
You can still use the old Kent Biz Radio links. They still all work.
But then you might look scathingly at me.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Now, there's a building customer loyalty through data analytics and digital marketing. And this is at the University of Kent Business School. And it's a Soundbright event on the 3rd of April.
No, that's gone. That's an old one. There should be another one. No, if you look at that, there's a second one on there.
Okay, there's one on the 8th of May.
Yeah.
And you're invited to attend the MBA lecture on strategic leadership in the era of digital transformation on the 8th of May at Kent Business School at the University of Kent. And the details are at kentbusinessradio.co.uk, the little forward / KBS. I'll draw
Fantastic.
A line through that other one.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't do that again.
I've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson, the lovely Tazzy64.
She's not listening at 11 p.m. at night.
No, but she tweeted. She probably hoot-sweeted it, didn't she? She said, "Hi, Vanilla Web. Cam Freya from Wellbeing People and I have a Business Bunker shout-out tomorrow, please." Oh, she tweeted it last night. "For these fun and very interactive kids' workshop. We love delivering them, and this Easter break they are in the Vines Church Hall in Maidstone and are sponsored by Golding Homes." And she says, "Thank you for that. Do you live in Maidstone? Do you have or know a 7 to 11 year old? Do you need to find fun things to occupy them during half term on the 15th and 16th of April?" Stop doing that. Somebody email me right in the middle of my tweet. Why not sign up for free this 3-hour Express Yourself Drama Workshop? The link is eventbrite.co.uk/ Golding Homes. Check it out. Follow Tracy on the Twitter, Tazzy64, T-A-Z-I-64. Give her a follow on the Twitter. Find out about these drama workshops in the Easter holidays taking place in Maidstone. Yeah, nice one. Thank you, Tracy.
There's an advanced social media masterclass with Alistair Frost, which is on the 25th of April. It's also a digital marketing strategy masterclass with David Shaw. I haven't seen him for ages.
David, yeah, I saw him the other day.
14th of May. And there's also the lovely Jade Pluck on the 30th of April. She's doing a LinkedIn for Business masterclass, all at Vidish Hotel Maidstone. I need to call Jade Pluck. I was trying to do a business page for my new husband, who doesn't do anything on social media. And it just, I did it, filled it all out diligently, and it said, "Try again later, there's a problem." Did my press up group one straight away. So I'm a bit perplexed. I tried for ages. It annoyed me.
You need to speak to someone.
I want to talk to Jay Clark.
It's awards season again.
Is it?
Yeah, we heard from the Canterbury Award winners in the last couple of weeks. Well, coming up next is the Maidstone Business Awards. And the awards dinner is taking place at the Mercure Great Danes Hotel. That's at Hollingbourne. And it's on Thursday, the 27th of June. Entries are open now. There's loads and loads of different categories that you can enter for your Maidstone-based business. And your business needs to be based in Maidstone or the greater Maidstone area. And that extends right out to Kings Hill and Westmoreland and Eastmoreland and everywhere around there. And all the way to places like Borough Green and Mepham that Jules can't speak. So if you want to get involved in the Maidstone Business Awards, do check that out. kentbusinessradio.co.uk/ business events, or there's a business events tab on the website. You can tab on there and you can find the details. And then coming up later in the year, of course, is the Ashford Business Awards. That's in November at the Ashford International Hotel, and we'll tell you more about that as we get nearer the time. So the next one up is the Maidstone Business Awards on the 27th of June. Jules.
Sorry, I was busy tweeting.
You're busy doing your nails or something, weren't you?
Yeah, busy tweeting. Yeah. Nails are done, darling. Venues and Events Expo South East, that's at the Kent Event Centre. It's on Thursday the 9th of May. It's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. A one-day exhibition for event professionals, venue finders, PAs, VAs and business owners who'd like to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers for events. I'm going to read out how you can find out about this at the end. But whether you're organising a business event, a meeting, a seminar, a conference, a workshop or team building, or even a corporate party, you'll find everything you need in one place. And they have a variety of talks from industry experts covering mental health and well-being, sustainability, social media, and also they've got some speakers and event tech, plus some informative workshops with over 100 venues and event suppliers from the Southeast to meet. So to find out more, book your free place and go to venueseventsexpo.co.uk.
Fantastic. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage?
I'm going to play some cheesy tunage.
Are you?
Yeah.
Now how, I know, we are young, we are free. That would have been good, wouldn't it?
Nah, well, it would have been, yeah. But I'm going to play something from my era from a mate of mine.
Really?
I say a mate. I met him a couple of times. So, yeah.
Did David Bowie?
No, I've met David Bowie more times than I met this guy.
Is it Steve Harley?
No, wait for it.
I want to know. I'm a Gemini.
See if you can.
Hello, mate, all right? Yeah, I'm all right.
Black Betty?
No. Nope.
What is it?
What is it? It's Sham 69, love. That's what it is. The Kids Are United.
This is heavy metal.
Get down with a nice punk, mate.
Oh, is it? Did you used to do that punk rock?
Yeah, yeah. I went to school with Jimmy Percy.
Around you. Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Do you use social media for your business? Do you understand all things digital? No? Then come to ZC Live. Business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns will host a day full of great content for local businesses. Free workshops, inspiring speakers, networking opportunities, top marketing tips, the latest trends. And it's all free. Make your digital marketing more effective with ZC Live. Friday, May the 31st at Strood Academy. Book your free place now at zclive.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk /2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 9th of April with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous, often married, onto new husband, thyroid suffering, Prosecco drinking, Jill Serkin.
It's a long list, isn't it, really?
No, really, that was a bit of a good intro.
Oh, you didn't say Anna to Kelly Maraby.
I didn't say that because I can't speak Arabic, just because you can. Yeah.
I met a fabulous Arabic guy the other day, actually, and in a local eatery in Tankerton. And
as you do.
His name's Mimo, and he's Egyptian, so my dialect is Egyptian. So we got on like a house on fire. New husband got totally bored. Because if I go out, I either talk about thyroid with people or Arabic.
No, you don't. Yeah.
So anyway, he...
I tell you what.
What?
What we need to do is to get you to speak about thyroids in Arabic.
Well,
and then we can all completely ignore you, can't we?
Well, no, I'm going to put on a thyroid show, so then, then I don't have to mention
thyroids
it.
Or us. Yeah,
I've got
okay.
some doctors. But he wanted to do some hamer mashe. You know what that is,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hamer mashe.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, and he said that he got this hamem, which is a pigeon, to those who don't know, and he wants to stuff it. And he got this pigeon and he said, Jules, I cooked it for 6 hours. He said, it's not like the Egyptian pigeons. I'm a bit worried about where he's getting these pigeons from. He said it was tough as old boots. So I at yesterday's chef's forum, I met a few people, you know, who do pigeons.
Who do pigeons?
Yeah, gamekeepers and people.
Well, you mean like the people in Trafalgar Square?
No, like Stour Valley Game. Proper meat people, game people.
Yeah, yeah, no. What
shoot pigeons?
Yeah, no, but what do you mean?
But not the pigeons, vermin pigeons, wood pigeons.
Wood pigeons. Yeah. I thought you were out in Trafalgar Square with a little, bag of trill going, come here.
I tell you, trill, now you're showing your age. I mean, yeah. Who gets trill now?
Oh, no. I'm the red budgie.
I did try to get him round to my house because we're inundated.
Hold on, I've lost the plot. What did you try? The pigeon or?
No, to get this man with his gun round to get my pigeon.
A man with a gun?
Yeah, because we're inundated and they poop everywhere, my pigeons. They're all up in the roof.
Do you remember Daniel Eels?
Yeah.
He came on the show a couple of years ago.
He
used to run an IT support company. He now runs a bird pest company.
I need him then.
Yeah, and he gets rid of pigeons using hawks.
Yeah, or falcon, is it?
And falcons, yeah.
You don't know, so you're just saying and falcons. I'm not sure.
No. Well, falcons are hawks. They're raptors, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah, all
they're
of them.
They're all the same?
Yeah, they're raptors. Well, they're not all the same. They're all part of the same genus.
I spent all those years studying.
Not knowing.
Studying,
yeah.
You know, because we used to do in our day, we used to do the Book of Birds. We had to do whole projects on birds.
Was that...
And the wheel. We had to do a whole project on...
That was the Ladybird Book of I Spy Birds, wasn't it?
We had to do whole projects on...
Sparrow.
Transport. We used to do like a sedan chair. I mean, nobody in this studio would even know what a sedan chair is, would they? That was Paul and my era, the sedan chair.
Don't drag me into it. We didn't talk about sedan chairs where I was.
The wheel.
Or pigeons.
The invention
we were
of the
still,
wheel.
We were still working on wheels, mate, that weren't square. Yeah.
The Battle of Hastings, 1066.
I was there, yeah.
I mean, when have I ever needed to use anything about the Battle of Hastings?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because actually I did last summer.
Oh, no.
No, I visited. We took my stepdaughter to Senlac Hill, where the site of the Battle of Hastings was. Senlac Hill.
Okay.
It's where the Battle of Hastings was fought.
So you said 1066.
Yeah, and we walked around the battlefield and had to explain the deployment of the troops and everything. Yeah. It was good fun.
I'm very impressed. Well, yeah. I've never. And baobab tree. When have you ever used baobab tree?
Nah.
You know.
Got me there.
I knew, learned about that in geography. It's never got. Why didn't they teach me to change a plug or something?
Well, in geography. Don't work in geography.
Any lesson, something useful. And then in domestic science, Trudy, what did we learn? Pineapple upside down cake. You're never going to make one, are you? You're never going to make a pie. Have you ever eaten a pineapple upside down cake?
I can't say I have, no.
Exactly. It's the first thing we learned today.
But most people don't know what you mean when you say domestic science because they don't do that anymore at school.
What's it called now?
Well, they don't do it, do they?
Oh. Nobody cooks.
No, nobody cooks.
That's sad.
It's McDonald's, isn't it?
No, in a tin. Well, they could get Ibiza fitness food, of course.
They could, yeah, yeah. Ah, see, I led you up to that, didn't I, really? Yeah. Right, you can do one more tweet and then we're going to talk to our first guest because it's about time we have some common sense on this programme.
I think so, yeah. Mm. I'm very over the Battle of Hastings.
Are you? You've finished mourning the loss of Harold with an arrow in his eye.
Harold. Spectacular soloists announced for Leeds Castle Summer Concert. I'm a big fan of a summer concert, a little picnic. So this takes place on Saturday the 13th of July, listener. And it's this year will be a unique celebration of Leeds Castle's remarkable 900-year milestone. And the organisers are delighted to announce that two sensational female performers, Alwyn Miller and Louise Dearman, will be taking to the stage, ensuring that this spectacular event will be another one to remember. And the international conductor and the host for the evening is going to be John Rigby. And he said that he's absolutely thrilled that they'll be having this amazing event and the West End stars Louise Dearman returning to Leeds Castle this summer after such a fabulous debut last year. And Alwyn Miller is one of the most exciting and dramatic singers around today and has literally performed all over the world, said John Rigby. So you can go to leedscastleconcert.co.uk and the lovely Brachas or Brachas are once again the headline
Brachas.
Sponsor.
Brachas. Brachas Law in Maidstone, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to go to that. Sounds good. By the way, my headphones and mic are fabulous now. I don't know what you did. You've done something.
Yes.
I might come back.
Oh, damn. Do you know what? I think it's time that we introduce our first guest, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Funk Show for the very first time, Sam Bunn. Sam is currently a student at Reading University, and he's got some very, very cunning plans that he's going to talk to us about the kind of projects that he's working on. So, Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's lovely to see you here. First of all, tell us where you are in your career at Reading. Second year, third year, first year?
First year at the moment. Right. So I took a year out to work and just in my first year going into my final term when I go back in a few weeks, yeah.
Okay, and what are you reading? What are you reading at Reading? What are you reading at Reading?
I read lots of different stuff. I went to do theatre, but I'm doing philosophy, politics. Doesn't make sense to me half the time. I thought I was there to watch some shows, but it's actually a bit intelligent to a degree.
Ignore him. They don't know what they're doing. Okay, cool. So tell us about the project that you're working on. You're putting together a film project, yeah?
It's a theatre project, actually. Yeah, we're going up to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival through the Drama Society at Reading University, and it's one that I've written and I get to direct as well. We're going up in August. I'm just about to sort out my production team and then cast in a few weeks as well. So, yeah, really
That's
exciting.
Amazing, isn't
it? Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, have you done Edinburgh before?
I haven't, no.
Have you done anywhere before?
No, I've done amateur dramatics performances, right. Things like that. So, this is.
Have you actually acted yourself at Amdram?
Yeah.
He's doing that right now.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I've done it since I was about 9 or 10, just different stuff. And then I did some work for a guy who's actually only in Willsborough called Joby Stevens, who's a film producer. I did that probably about 2 years ago now. Was a runner just on a short film that he did. So he's a good guy as well. And then, yeah, just did a lot of performances. Where I worked for a year, I didn't do any theatre. So I just sort of threw myself back into it when going to uni. And then it's worked out well so far. So
step us through how you got to where you are so far with this project. What came first? Did you say to yourself, right, I want to go to the Fringe and I need to do something? Or did you come up with an idea first and then go, do you know what, I could take this to the Fringe?
Yeah, so basically I came up with the idea before I even went to uni. I did a creative writing A-level at, I was at Norton Natural School.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did one of my A-levels there, I did English literature, classics and creative writing, so a lot of stories, a lot of writing anyway. Mm. So I came up with the idea.
So you did classics. Mm. So have you written this in Latin?
Oh yeah,
or
fluent.
Greek.
Absolutely yeah. fluent. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, in both.
Nice one. Yeah.
Translated back and forth all
good
the time
point.
Just for fun.
Like it. Yeah.
So, hic est puer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I wrote it down as just sort of a short story, really, just sort of got it out of my head. And then when I knew that they go up every year, basically they take 2 plays up every year with the Drama Society. They've been doing it for about 8 years now, I think. And I just thought, why not turn it into a script? Because it can only be about 45 minutes long anyway. Mm. So I thought I'd do that. And that's where it came from, really.
And how did you find that process of writing a script for the first time for something that you're going to take and perform in public? You know, step us through the kind of creative process of that. Because to someone like me, that sounds really daunting, you know, to sit down and go, I wouldn't have a clue where to start, even how to write a script.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to just sort of get it down as an order of events first. So I write down the basic structure of what I'm going to do. Mm. And then it was actually, there was a guy who came to the university called Sam Steiner. And he did just a really quick, only an hour long workshop with us. Mm. And he said to us, give yourself 5 minutes, time yourself, and write 25 things about your character. It can be anything, like their favorite color, what they like to drink, things like that. Yeah. So I took that on board. I've got 6 different characters in it. And I did that for each of them. It fleshed them out a bit more. It just meant that the conversations made sense when I was writing them.
So presumably when you do that with a character, that's because it's making them more real. Mm. And you can sense them as a person rather than just a flat storyline kind of
yeah,
thing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So when you get specific things about them, like little nuances, that's what makes them very different. Because I've got basically the storyline is it sounds really heavy whenever I talk about it, but it is actually quite comical. It's about a musician who actually falls into a drug habit, and it's getting to like quite a low point in his life. He's an heroin addict, which I can just say I have no experience in. I just want to say. And he gets visited by the it's called The Visitors, and he gets visited by the 5 different stages of his addiction. So right. It goes through pain, desire, euphoria, comfort, and then paranoia.
Oh, that sounds really, really so interesting.
It's like, yeah. I say it's stages. Christmas Carol meets Fight Club. That's how I've described it. But it's kind of about like coping mechanisms, I guess. My main character, he's quite witty and charismatic. He tries to make a joke and par everything off, and they're like, no, this is serious. You've got to sort your life out. And he's like, no, I'm fine.
Kind of with nail stuff. If you know, do you know with nail and I? Oh, okay.
No, unfortunately
not. What is with nail?
It's a film with, what's his chops? Richard E. Grant. Okay. Is it Richard E. Grant? And one of the, I can't remember his name. Anyway, sorry, Liverpudlian actors. Anyway, it's a comedy film with Nan and I, but it's similar, not exactly the same, but a similar kind of thing.
But Sam, yours sounds quite dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's got some low points, but I made a point of making my character, he's 20-something, so around my age, and he's constantly addressing the audience as well. Mm. So even though there's points where it gets quite heavy in the conversation, he'll just turn around for a second or two and be like, what's he on about? And then carry on with it. So because I didn't, my main point, because we pitched it. So there were a few of us students that went for it, and then the committee for the society all voted on it. So we had to pitch forward for it and make a presentation. My main point was, it's not 45 minutes of doom and gloom. I don't want people to sit there and walk out like,
you've written this play. The society have chosen it to put it on in Edinburgh. Now there's two kind of streams we need to talk about here. There's the whole zeitgeist of being at the fringe, which must be really exciting. Mm-hmm. Are you kind of looking forward to that?
Yeah.
Have you actually been to the Fringe at all as an audience member or participant?
I've never set foot in Scotland. I've been to different drama festivals, some really small scale stuff as well, independent stuff, which is what Fringe mainly is, which is quite interesting. It's quite nice to see that sort of side of it. But no, all I know is from experience from people in old years who've gone up the year before or 2 years before, their experience of it, which is really handy because it means that, I mean, first time I'm having to write and direct and go up with it as well.
Yeah.
It's quite handy to get a production team behind me that know what they're doing. So that's what I'm looking for at the moment. Just within the society, they're putting in their applications now. I just want to try and get a strong band behind me so that I can.
Well, that was kind of my second theme here. So you, on the one hand, you've got the whole Edinburgh Fringe thing going on, and everything that's happening there, and just the whole atmosphere of being there. But then on the other hand, you've got to work, Sam. Mm-hmm. So you've written this play, you're directing it. Yeah. Have you directed anything before, or is this your first?
Very small scale stuff. So we have a thing in the Drama Society that's called Rough Sketch Writing Festival.
Right.
So there were 10 or 12 of us that put forward just small sketches. It wasn't really a committee thing. We just put forward a sketch. We got some cast. We got a venue. We worked all out ourselves. Mm. So I did that. It was only about a 10-minute piece. And then when I was in sixth form, they do a tradition at North Natural School where the sixth formers, they write and direct a pantomime for the year sevens. I don't know if that's still going on. But
oh, no, they don't. There.
And it was.
Oh yes, I do. It's behind you.
Yeah. So apart from that, that was my experience with directing. I mean, I've been around theatre for about 10 years now, so it's sort of hopefully going to rub off on me.
So do you prefer the acting side or the directing, producing, writing side?
I quite like a bit of both. I do love doing performance, which is, like I said, I just threw myself back into it. Going into university because I hadn't done any when I worked. Mm. But I love doing the writing side as well, where I did my creative writing, not necessarily just scripts. Like I just sort of just get ideas down. I just enjoy doing it. It's quite a nice pastime, really.
Yeah. Cool. So you're at the Fringe in August. Are you in production? Are you, I don't know what you call it, are you performing it at the moment? Are you
performing?
Rehearsals. Yeah. That's the chat. Thank you. Somebody helped me
you
at last.
You know what you need?
What?
Fish a brain? Oil. Fish oils.
Fish oil. Yeah. What, rubbed on my chest?
No.
Are you in rehearsals at the moment? That's what I was looking for.
So at the moment, when I go back, I'll have a production team. So I'll have an assistant director and two main producers.
Right.
So they'll sort out my... like rehearsal schedule to make sure that all the actors can make it, things like that. And then I'm going to be casting in about a month or so.
He's ahead of me all the time. And he says, my next question was about the casting. That's great. And what's the size of the cast? How many actors are in it?
So there's six actors. We're rehearsing in Reading all over the summer through July.
And are you doing a Hitchcock? Are you going to be in it somewhere?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think I'm that vain.
Oh, not quite. Really?
Maybe give me a few more productions. Yeah, my head will get bigger and then I might do. Yeah.
Cool. So you're starting casting when?
In about a month or so. That'll be just within the university.
I was going to say, is that all from within the university?
Yeah, so
they sound like they've been really good on this and helpful. Would you say that?
Yeah, they're really good. Like I said, they take it up. They take up two every year.
Right.
So this is, I think, the seventh or eighth year they're doing it. So a third year girl who I know, Anna Ryan, she's taking up hers as well, which is very different to mine. It's a murder mystery, but it's set in the 1970s, and hers has all got a punk aesthetic to it. Mm. Hers is called Who Killed Bambi. So the two of us having to work together, we're going to have to fight for cast and production teams soon enough as well, so maybe become frenemies by the end of it. I hope not, but it's a really good process. They're really helpful, and where a lot of them have gone before, then it's really helpful.
Have you enjoyed it so far, Sam? I mean, it sounds like it's hard work, obviously.
Yeah, we always say that we go to university for our for Drama Society, and we do our degree on the side.
Yeah,
because they've always got some sort of production on, whether it's you do the acting, whether you do the tech side, the producing side. Like, they open it up to everyone. It's all completely student led. So it's really good for experience as well, working with others.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
In theatre, you're never going to work alone. It's always collaborative. Yeah. So.
I mean, the whole process that you're going through, just being serious for a moment, has fantastic transferable skills, because it's all just project management. Mm. Yeah. The fact that you're doing it in a creative environment is fantastic. But all of the things that you're doing have applications in almost every field of work, because it's all project management stuff. It's bringing together a team, organizing everything, getting everything set up. It's pure project management stuff. I don't think enough people give creative things like theatre and music production and all those things, they don't give it kudos for the skills that you get in it that are really useful. I used to be head of technology at Goldman Sachs, and when we hired techies, we always hired music graduates, because they were the quickest to train as programmers and what we call quant jocks, which are people that devise algorithms for trading. They were always the quickest because they're so used to being creative with symbols. Yeah. So fantastic. You're really looking forward to it?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. It's going to be very different from what I've done before. So
Are you going to actually get some time to stay in Edinburgh, Sam? Because it's a beautiful, beautiful town.
I highly
recommend the coastal route from there. I was at St Andrews for work, and then I did the coastal route down. There's some great pubs with wood burners and fresh food, and amazing.
It is a lovely place, Edinburgh.
Yeah, I mean, I intend to have a bit of a look around. Mum, as most of you know, here at here at the bunker, she's always here, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You always have to listen to her.
Well, she's always here late. She's always here late.
She's going to come up and watch it as well, and she's very familiar with the gin distillery there.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she'll be
able to. No, absolutely. Listen, all power to you, Sam.
Thank you.
It sounds like a fantastic, fun project, and we'll be thinking of you. Let us know how you get on with it.
Yeah, we'll do.
And, you know, just keep on keeping on. It's a brilliant stuff. So congratulations. Is there any way that people can find out and follow you to see how you get with this? You know, do you have a website or Twitter handle or Facebook or anything?
Yeah, we've got we have set up a Facebook page soon, but at the moment we've just got the Twitter account, which is at Rudds, R-U-D-S, The Visitors, which is the name of the play, or there's Rudds Drama, which is the whole society. So like I said, it's still early doors at the moment, but obviously as we get production team, as we get cast, as we get rehearsals in, we'll post more and more on there, get more information. We've already got our space as well, which is it's the space on Northridge in on the Mile, which that's our space, which we've already got booked out, and we're there from the 12th to the 17th of August.
So you're right on the Mile, are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic, really fantastic. Brilliant. Look, Sam, we wish you the very best of success with it. It's going to be a fantastic thing. Here on Channel Radio, we actually put on radio plays that we have written by students, mostly at the University of Kent, because there is no outlet for a lot of budding writers for these kind of things. So we're fully supportive of what you're doing, and you never know, we could turn it into a radio play at least. So good luck with that. We'll be rooting for you, and thank you for joining us. Do stay with us for the rest of the show, but for the moment, Mr. Sam Bunn from Reading University Drama Society, Rudds, with his play The Visitors, coming up at the Edinburgh Fringe. Get your tickets now. Fantastic. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
What you got, Jules?
Oh, I was just videoing Sam, and so what have I got? I've got Stars. This is my last one, by the way. Stars.
You can't have read them all.
Yeah, I've been getting on with it. I've been getting on with it while you've been, you know.
Cool, blimey.
By the way, On the Twitter, Tracy Ferguson is...
Paul McGann. Yeah. Sorry. Laura Burton Lawrence has just tweeted me. Paul McGann, that was in who...
On WhatsApp, she's been saying that.
Yeah, no. That was who was in With Niall and I, with Richard Egan.
As I was saying, also, the lovely Tracy Ferguson is listening live, and she says Paul Andrews, with Niall and One. Is it With Niall and I?
With
One?
Niall and I,
is a brilliant film.
Yeah.
Yes, Paul Andrews. It's Richard E. Grant, the brilliant Richard Griffith. And Paul McGann.
Yeah.
And she also says, wishing Sam the very best at the Fringe in August. The play sounds very interesting. And I agree, it does. And I love the way you've done that five things. And like you say, you know, I immediately thought of Ghost of Christmas Past, whatever it was. Dickens, wasn't it?
Yeah, Christmas Carol.
Okay. And I immediately thought of that. And then I was thinking, of course, of, you know, when they're in denial, you know, some of the famous...
That's a river in Egypt.
Yes. Anna Tkelem Arabi. So there were some... I was thinking of famous people like Hendrix and... what's her name? Amy Winehouse. Mm. All of who died really... There's hundreds, aren't there, of heroin addicts who've died really young, and they always deny it. Mm-hmm. You know, they always... You know, until they die, which is really, really sad.
Mm.
Then they can't deny it anymore. But I love the sound of the play.
Cool. She's,
in fact...
She's happy today, isn't she?
If Annette's listening, my partner in crime... Because you know, Sam, we're not ever allowed on a show together because we are a bit naughty. But what we could do is we could get the sleeper up together, Annette and I.
Could you imagine the state that they'd turn up in if they went up on the overnight train?
They'd
be banned from Edinburgh, pair of them.
I don't particularly like gin, you see, so she could have a little tuck up of gin. I'll bring some nice champagne, Prosecco, because, you know, anything, Carver. I think that would work well. And I've heard that there's a new upgrade of the sleeper.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't last 5 minutes, would you? Because the trouble with Jules is whenever she goes anywhere like that, she has to put on a fake accent. And a Scottish accent is really bad.
Yeah. Especially as I sound like Janet.
You do sound like Janet.
From what was it?
Dr. Finlay's casebook. Yeah.
And of course, no one in the studio will know Dr. Finlay's casebook.
I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
No. You know who does always know that lovely... chap we have on the show. What's his name? The gorgeous one, looks like David Essex. Our Scottish.
Oh, yeah.
I always forget his name.
Finley. Finley.
Cameron.
No, Ramsey Cowan.
Ramsey Cowan.
Yeah.
He looks like David Essex. I actually put pictures out. Did you see that? I put pictures of him. Doesn't he look like David Essex?
Well, he does to you, yeah.
Were you shocked? But you see, when I do my Scottish to him, the trouble is that
most people don't know what David Essex looks like now, and he looks like David Essex now.
Yeah.
You know, and I know what David Essex looked like now, because we go to his gaff in Whitstable to have paella.
Tapas.
Yeah, tapas.
There's always, there's never him there, but a little whiff of his aftershave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or his moccasins by the front door.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I'm so pleased that Tracy is actually up and listening, because often she listens in the twilight hours.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's really nice to have her.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
Good.
Do you want me to read this last one?
Well, you told me you read the last one just now.
Oh,
so
I've got another one hidden. I've got two, but they are long.
Well, I know they're very long. Yeah, well, you've got plenty of time, so you can take a deep breath and read it.
I'm going to edit that down.
I wouldn't.
Okay. So which one do you want me to read first?
I don't care.
Okay. I'd have liked to, you know, have a little sip of water first, Rebecca. Have you seen how long that is? I'm going to get jaw ache. Anyway, bright minds in business, they're sharing insight to inspire growth. And the directors of two Kent-based companies are collaborating on a new venture to showcase some of the county's brightest minds in business. This is Anwen Cooper of Get Fruitful Marketing and Dan Corp of Corp Consulting. And they share a passion for business growth. And they've teamed up to encourage Kent's top talent to share insights that will inspire other entrepreneurs. Launching this month, Bright Minds in Business is sharing top tips and first-hand stories from visionary business leaders changing the game in their industries. Regular events throughout the year will provide opportunities for company owners and directors to join facilitated discussions and hosted networking to expand their knowledge and make new connections. The first event is Winning the War for Talent, creating an inspiring employer brand at the Fruit Rooms, which is at the Hugh Lowe Farm in Mereworth, near West...
Mereworth.
Near Westmorling.
For God's sake.
Near Westmalling or Westmorling, I never know. And it's from 5:30 to 8 p.m. on the 3rd of April. The evening will explore what it takes to create a fantastic piece to work, making it easier for growing companies to attract, retain and develop the best candidates to join their team. And guests are going to hear from James Crawley, who's the director of JCM Talent Advisors, an author of Refueling Your Employer Brand, and also Jenny Kitchen, who's the managing director of Yo-Yo, a creative digital agency in Tunbridge Wells, and Michael Vaughan, who's the business development manager, BDM in other words, at Peninsula Employment Law and HR. And the Sunday Times top 100 companies to work for, an FT Best Places to Work Award winner is this person. So that was Michael Vaughan. And on the 8th of May, got really jaw-ache now.
Have you?
On the 8th of May, from 10 a.m. to 12:30, there'll be a second event leading the charge on well-being in the workplace. And I think, I don't know if that should be changed. What do you think? It says leading the charge on well-being. Could be charge, could be change. We'll work with it. In the workplace at Kingdom in Penshurst near Tunbridge and Tunbridge Wells. And this will feature presentations from Pip Lawrence, who's the founder of Day One Wellness and creator of the Recabrolet Wellbeing Programme, Alistair Bell, who's the MD of Thermosphere, which is a leading manufacturer of electric underfloor heating products, who has personally experienced the Recalibrate Programme and is providing the benefits by rolling this out within his organisation. Also, Plus Wellbeing people who will be attending with their interactive health kiosk to give delegates a personalised health MOT and chance to test their knowledge on the wellbeing station. The morning will include a healthy brunch. I wonder if they've got Ibiza fitness food there, Paul Andrews.
I don't know.
They should have.
Mm-hmm.
A healthy brunch, a facilitated discussion to explore ways to reduce staff turnover and sickness, as well as increase productivity by focusing on employee and senior leadership wellness. Now, you can find out all about this going to brightmindsinbusiness.co.uk, and also you can email Anwen, and she's at Anwen, A-N-W-E-N, at getfruitfulmarketing.com. And there's a phone number, which is 07815 948 791, and all details I'm sure will be on Kent Biz Radio.
They certainly will. We've had a tweet from Secret Hamper.
Oh.
And I say, Vanillaware, Business Bunker, we're reuniting the UK with a simple act of kindness aimed at the unsung heroes of our NHS. Our goal is to deliver 70 hampers sponsored by businesses to 70 hospitals, reaching in excess of 200,000 staff to say thank you for dedicating their lives to caring for others. If you'd like to get involved, if you're a business that would like to sponsor a hamper, then please get in touch with Secret Hamper on Le Twitter.
The only thing with hampers I find is that, you know, they don't last very long, do they?
Not around my house, no.
No, you have to bury them, you know, and when they were children. Do you remember the little hampers? Oh, hamper! Sorry.
I see what you're doing. You thought the little rodent on a wheel, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. No, it's a hamper, not a hamster.
I do love a hamper.
We could sponsor a hamster.
Or a hamper.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I do like a hamper, though, for a picnic.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to get involved in sponsoring an NHS hamper, Secret Hamper is the site for you. Give them a follow. What else have we got? Oh, the Kaz Family Business Place. Let's find her Twitter address. KazFBP is her Twitter. KazFBP. And she says, Vanillaweb, that's me, by the way, Vanillaweb. We would love a shout out for the National Family Business Awards. We're on the hunt for the most exceptional family owned businesses. Entries close this Friday, the 12th of April. And if you need any more info, you can follow Kaz on the Twitter. That's Kaz Family Business. Kaz Family Business. And the Twitter handle is CAZFBP, KazFBP. So if you run a family business and you'd like to enter their awards, you've got until Friday to do it.
That sounds very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one more email. What would you like me to do?
You could read it, or you could read a tweet, or you could say something useless.
Well, I'm going to read this, and then it's off my chest, isn't it? So this is about Stars at the Royal Albert Hall, which is probably where Sam will be doing his next play in a couple of years.
I would imagine so, yeah.
The world's greatest celebration of accessible music making ever will lift off with the iconic Royal Albert Hall on Monday the 15th of April. So I think that's next Monday. Commemorating 50 years since the moon landing, the concert will feature over 200 musicians from across the country, each of whom has a learning disability. And the performers from the Music Man Project UK will be supported by the Symphony Orchestra, massed chorus and special guests, including singing duo The Classical Reflection and the actor Peter Egan. Music is magic at the Royal Albert Hall is divided into two sections. Act one will feature well-known songs from the Music Man Project songbook, already performed in the sellout shows at the London Palladium. And the Act Two will witness the world premiere of brand new work, which is Music is Magic in Space. And this is written especially for this event by founder and director David Stanley, culminating in a last night of the proms finale to celebrate a victorious return to Earth. Apart from the finale, all the music is original and written especially for the Music Man Project. And you can go to www.themusicmanproject.com, or you can follow the Music Man Project UK on social media. And tickets for this unique event are now available from the Royal Albert Hall box office. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, really neat, really cool.
Do you know anyone in that?
No, I don't, although they have been sending me regular messages, and they are in pre-production at the moment, and they're doing loads of stuff.
This is what I love about this show, because there are very few platforms where that sort of thing can be read, or any of the stuff we read
absolutely.
Can be read.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet from Athelbray, the lovely folks at Athelbray, and they say, Vanillaweb and Little Urn. Well, Little Urn's not here. She's got a poorly chest. The one with the little fat hairy legs.
Aww.
Yeah. They say, hello. We're not listening live because we're in Budapest.
They get around a lot.
They
though,
do. They're going to listen later in their, back in their hotel. Just because we're not in the UK doesn't mean to say you can't contact us, though. For anything you need training-wise, just drop us an email and we'll respond. And that's kate@athelbray.co.uk. And Athelbray is spelled A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E. Athelbray.co.uk, the training company, currently in Budapest, currently missing bird, little urn with a short, fat, hairy legs and a poorly chest. But we got Jules instead. It's got long, fat, hairy legs.
I have, you know, I've been to Rebecca now and I'm completely smooth as a baby's bottom.
I don't want to know that.
Serenity Becker.
I don't want to know that.
No, I've got.
Were they waxed or shaved?
I've got friends that wax. Oh, yeah, always wax.
Yeah.
Tell you what, though. What? Never gets easier, does it? It still hurts.
The beard and the moustache is the worst bit, isn't it?
But I'm just answering Athelbrae to say I love Budapest. I just love Budapest. Just lovely.
Fantastic. So, do you know what? I think we're going to go and join the Channel Radio newsroom. And then when we come back, we've got two fabulous